We're looking at our purpose statement one last time this morning. And then, as I said before, it is the Easter season, and of course we will be focusing on that. Now, we're not going to start this morning with reading our passages ahead of the sermon. We will instead look at our text in the course of the sermon. And so that does mean that I invite you to pick up those Bibles and have them ready. It's nice when the pastor does all the work, but this time I want you to try and find a Bible in the pew and be ready when we consider those texts a little bit later on. There are passages from the Old and New Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, and then two texts from Paul's letters to Philippians and Colossians. I want to remind you this morning that it is God who speaks to us each Sunday. Amen. Let us pray that His word may find its way into our lives and make a difference in how we live. Let's pray. Amen. Father, prepare our hearts. Open not only our ears and our eyes, so that we may hear and see, but move our hearts to obedience. Amen. So that when we walk from this place, we take your commands and your encouragement and your love with us. Amen. Out into the world so that others may see you as well. Amen. Speak to us, Lord, for we are listening. Amen. Amen. I'm going to need some help. Usually when I click this thing, it just magically disappears. There we go. Canada continues to experience an opioid crisis with devastating effects on communities and families. It has affected every part of our country. 32,632 apparent opioid toxicity deaths in Canada between January 2016 and June 2022. Deaths each year have been trending upwards. Between January and June of 2022, death, 3,556 deaths. And if you're wondering, that works out to 20 deaths per day. Compared to 8 a day in 2016 and 12 each day in 2018, we are up to 20 deaths each day. 76% of these deaths are male. 76% also involve fentanyl. The greatest number of deaths are between the ages 20 through 59. And the majority of deaths, a full 90%, are in the provinces of BC, Alberta, and Ontario. Add to this another 14 people per day hospitalized for opioid poisoning. A total of 2,524 people between January and June in 2022. And then emergency medical services treated another 18,287 during this period. A 48% increase over the same period in 2019. And not only are people taking fentanyl, they are combining it with other drugs and lethal substances. It's destroying lives, deteriorating communities, and debilitating healthcare services. And I ask you, if you had the key to solve this crisis, would you not turn it? Cameron Adair is a reformed addict. His poison of choice was not cocaine, booze, or gambling. It was video games. Once recovered, he turned his recovery into a full-time business, GameQuitters.com. You can look it up. He gets emails from people regularly who say they have taken the Xbox away and now their kid is threatening to commit suicide. People are struggling with gaming addictions, he says. And the effects, well, they're losing relationships. They're losing jobs. They're failing out of college and breaking up families. The World Health Organization has included gaming disorder to its international classification of diseases. A Canadian study in 2016, that's a while back, estimated that 13% of Ontario students, 123,000 children are affected. Children. Across Canada, statistics show that 6 to 11% of gamers fall into the classification of problematic gaming, which is defined as a lack of control over gaming. Giving priority to gaming over other important activities such as school, jobs, meals, and sleeping, not to mention just family time. And they continue to play despite negative consequences. Video game addiction treatment centers are being established in various provinces. And it is proven that for many, the smartphone is often the way in. I'm sure you all have one tucked away in your coat or your pockets. And I ask you, if you had the key to solve this looming crisis, which I probably surmise has gotten worse through COVID, would you turn that key? Shopping malls no longer stand front and center when we talk about people's buying and spending habits. A survey about Canadian student consumer habits show that their consumption is tied strongly to being wired, to being online. Advertisers, therefore, target social media, smartphones, and video programming to hook the next generation of consumers. Have you ever looked up something on your phone or in your computer, and for the next 3 months, you're going to get advertisements for that very thing you looked up? I'm still getting advertisements for couches. Stop it. I bought a couch. Stats Canada reports that the number of Canadians shopping online rose from 73% in 2018 to 82% in 2020. And that's just before, again, COVID. And so it's probably gotten much worse. Monthly e-commerce sales in Canada are 233% higher than in-person sales, according to the most recent data. And despite stereotypes, the addiction to buy is not gender specific. It is leading to financial ruin and bankruptcy. According to Equifax, the overall consumer debt in Canada shot up to $2.32 trillion in 2022. This covers all debt outside of mortgage debts. So you got to make your house payments on top of that yet. Today's average Canadian individual consumer debt level is $21,183. Each person in this church. owes $21,183. And some of you are saying, oh, that's not too bad. And others are saying, oh. That's up from $15,394 in 2018. And increasingly, 12-step programs are used in financial education to counter functional impairment, clinical distress, and conflict in significant relationships with loved ones. If you had the key to solve this crisis, would you not turn it? I'm going to ask us to listen to a song. A little unusual, I know. And I suspect, and in fact I know, that you might not particularly enjoy musically the song. It's not Beethoven or Bach, and some of the younger people are going, good. Some of you older folks, you'll have to suffer through it. But the words are up here, and I want you to pay attention to those words. Wasn't too painful, was it? Sorry, I'm back to There we go. Now, maybe it's not your musical preference, but it was a song sung by a group called Extreme. Now, the picture will tell you that they were an 80s, 90s era rock band who gained worldwide success with record sales in the millions. I happen to like them and listen to their music quite a bit. Some of you might be less impressed. Their musical influences were Van Halen, Queen, Aerosmith, and Led Zeppelin. And as I look out into the congregation, I suspect some of those names might be familiar to you. We have a lot of secret rockers here, I believe. And they might even have been part of your musical upbringing. Now, considering the lyrics, it might surprise you that this was a secular band that gained much play and success on popular music charts. Because if you hear these lyrics, you will hear their cry. A cry from a voice in the world for something. Something of significance. Something of significance that they had not yet found despite their fame and fortune. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes is struggling with life, with the purpose of life, and with the sense of it all. He struggles with the meaning of it all, with the seeming meaninglessness of life, and of his own life specifically. Much of the book really is a depressing read. It is not a book you want to pick up when you're down. But after much lament and reflection, the writer comes to the conclusion that meaning and a sense of purpose cannot be had without God. After seeing and chasing after many things in his life, and watching other people do the same, he concludes that people seem to be hardwired for God. He says, God, who has made all things, has also set eternity into the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He has set eternity into the hearts of men. Eternity. That's the hole that people try to fill with things. The problem is, things can never fill the place that is meant for God. Things, even things that in and of themselves might be good and pleasurable, all things, even good things, come to an end. And they can never replace God. Amen. Now, you've probably experienced that. So when we mistake good things and pleasurable things for God, we come up empty. Because the good things that we do have and experience are merely meant as pointers to the best thing, which is God Himself. And only God is eternal, without beginning and without end. And we invest so much into the stuff that we can't take with us when we die. That box that awaits each one of us, I know it's a terrible thing to say, only fits so many things. You can't take it with you when you die. You see, God by design has created all people to walk with Him and to look for Him. And when they look for other things, well, anything less than him is not going to satisfy. Because anything less than a relationship with God and a life lived with him is going to leave a hole in your heart. And I think the song we just listened to is proof of that. A band that is highly successful, millions of albums sold, money rolling in, fame, power, influence, adulation. And what do they sing about? There's a hole in my heart, and the things that I do not satisfy. There's a hole in my heart, they sang, that can only be filled by you. I suspect that the band was probably singing about lost love, not God. They probably saw some beautiful woman and thought, this is what I must have. This is what I must possess. Someone from whom they desperately wanted attention and love. But in singing this song, they sang a biblical truth about God and their need of him. And unless and until they find him, their hole in their hearts will remain. They will find no satisfaction, no contentment, no peace, no meaning, no purpose, and no rest in their searching souls. In an interesting little novel written in 1945 called The World, the Flesh, and Father Smith, there is this interaction between a woman of the world and Father Smith. The woman of the world finds the priest, Father Smith, a curiosity. What a strange man, Father Smith, with his little collar prominently around his neck. How could he possibly hang on to Christianity? She meets him on the road one day and introduces herself, Miss Dana Agdala. And she decides to poke at the father's obviously outdated view of the world. She says to the young priest, tell me, do you get much response to the old story these days? She, a modern young woman, had long rejected all that poppycock, as she puts it, about baptism and purity and the virgin birth. Because, of course, it's all against modern science, not to mention current practices of obstetrics. It's time to get into the modern age, she advises Father Smith. Time to leave antiquated ideas about God and about sex and purity and marriage. Father Smith hears her out and then says, I still prefer to believe that sex is the substitute for religion, and that the young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. Now, don't get me wrong. Father Smith here is not harping about sex necessarily or only. He's saying that God has created in each human being a hunger, a desire, a yearning, and no matter what they attempt to put into that heart, into that hole in their heart, they can spend it on their work, they can spend it on success, they can spend it on possessions, they can spend it on sex and love, they can spend it on you name it. But in the end, they will simply be spent. And the hole in their hearts will remain. Because that hole, eternity, that hole can only be filled by God. Amen. Paul learned this, and he shares it with the church at Philippi. He says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. doesn't it feel like sometimes, even as Christians, doesn't it feel like we have to give up too much? How tempted are we often by the things that the world offers? How often do we lose perspective by all the bling and glitter and everything that shines in the world? How often do we stop short of giving our whole selves to God? Paul realized that things are, in the end, just things. He had had plenty, and he had been in need, but ultimately the only thing that would quiet his heart was Jesus. I consider all things rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Christ is the peg that fits the hole in his heart perfectly. Back to extreme. Don't worry, I'm not going to let you listen to another song. Some of you might not be able to tolerate that, though you're free to find it on YouTube after the service. Am I ever going to change is another song that they sang, and consider with me, in light of the last song they sang, consider these lyrics. I'm tired of being me, and I don't like what I see. I'm not who I appear to be, so I start off every day down on my knees. I will pray for a change in any way, but as the day goes by, I live through another lie, if it's any wonder why. Am I ever going to change? Will I always stay the same? If I say one thing, then I do the other. It's the same old song that goes on forever. Am I ever going to change? I'm the one to blame. When I think I'm right, I wind up wrong. It's a futile fight gone on too long. Please tell me if it's true. Am I too old to start anew? Because that's what I want to do. But time and time again, when I think I can, I fall short in the end. So why do I even try? Will it matter when I die? Can anyone hear my cry? Am I ever going to change? A secular, highly successful, sold-out band is putting into words the eternal cry of human hearts. Amen. People of First, do you hear the cry? Do you see the hole in the hearts of people? Do you know that the opioid crisis, the gaming addictions, that the consumption culture we have created as paradise on earth, they are all attempts by desperate people to fill the hole in their hearts? Amen. We ask ourselves whether the church is still relevant. We see empty churches. We watch people leave, spending their lives on other things. We worry. Do we need to adapt the message we speak? It seems that other voices are more attractive. It seems people are looking for other things. But the question is not whether the church is still relevant. People's hearts are holy. Hearts are missing chunks. They're missing God. And they're filling it with junk. If you had the key, well, the point is, we do have the key. Christ makes whole the brokenhearted. If I was in Nigeria, I would have had 15 amens right then and there. Even Pedro failed me on this one. Christ makes whole the brokenhearted. Do we believe that anymore? When you see what is happening, when you hear the statistics, when you look around and about you, do you dare to speak of Jesus? Do you know your Bible well enough to answer what is happening out there with the hope of Jesus? Yes, the church is relevant. The question is, are you listening? Are you looking? Are you inviting people? Are you confident that Jesus is the answer? Sometimes I wonder if we live too apologetically and if we live with too many doubts. And when people walk into our church, they see people that are just not sure. And what would bring them back? Do you live your faith with boldness, or do you refer to your faith apologetically? And are you embarrassed to say you go to church? Do you dare speak into people's lives, or do you take the common attitude, their life is theirs to live, it's none of my business, to each his own? Do you say to people, have you considered Jesus? You know, since he's come into my life, since I've brought my stuff to him, it has changed me. I always have someone to go to no matter what happens. Does it mean that I am not tempted, that I am perfect? Am I not tempted by the bling, by the sugar and spice and all things nice? Oh, I do get tempted. I get caught up in that as well. I'm not better than you, we need to say to people. I get caught up in that too, in striving for things, the wrong things even, but I've learned that none of those things make me happy. Amen. Until I give them their proper place. Amen. And that means I start with God. Amen. I started visiting people. I do, together with my wife, I make about 3-4 visits a week. And I'm having so many conversations with so many of you in which you express a desire to be church again. To be a community that cares. Amen. A community that makes a difference. Amen. Yes, I hear your weariness too. Yes, I hear some nostalgic talk about the way it used to be. And I hear fears of change in the neighborhood, in the church, in the denomination. How will changing lifestyles and attitudes affect us? How will we deal with the differing opinions about the human sexuality report? What does it mean and how will it end? How do we live in and how do we live out these differences? And yet I know that God is good. And I know that he will give us grace in our striving and in our struggles. We are not the first people ever to have questions. But I also know this, without an all-in commitment to bow before God and making life with him your priority, each of you will be unsatisfied personally. And we as a community will be poor. Amen. Without an all-in commitment, wholeheartedly committed to Jesus Christ. Amen. Does your heart still break for the broken? Are you willing to let Jesus break your pride? Can you speak to those with whom you disagree with grace and humility? Are your ears attentive to the struggles of others? Will you listen long enough to hear? Can you speak God and his grace confidently into the lives of others? Are you convinced that Christ makes whole the brokenhearted? Amen. Are you willing to take a risk? Become an elder, a deacon, a pastoral elder. Do you dare to pick up the phone because you noticed that someone was struggling and you say, I should phone the pastor to call? No, call him. Call her directly and say, I noticed. I saw you. Are you willing to take a risk and point the way to Jesus, who says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one comes through to the Father except through me. Amen. People of first, return to your first love. Amen. Speak about Jesus. Plug the holes in people's hearts with the love of Jesus. Open doors. Start conversations. Reach out to those you don't know. Offer wholeness. Dare to speak of the love, the grace, the forgiveness of Jesus at men's broken hearts. Amen. Our purpose statement says that we are committed to serve our neighbors wholeheartedly. Amen. This does not mean that we have to be perfect. Or perfectly whole. It means rather that we throw ourselves onto the sure promise of Jesus Christ. Amen. We look to His finished work on the cross. Amen. Which we will soon be remembering and celebrating in again in the weeks to come at Easter. Amen. It is that which allows us together, whatever the challenges ahead, to offer wholeness to people in a broken world. Amen. I end today with the words of Paul in speaking encouragement to the church at Colossae. Words that we can make our own. Whatever you do, people of first, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, fill our hearts with you. Jesus, mend our broken hearts. Holy Spirit, move in this place so that this may be a place of healing and that we may be filled with joy. Give us boldness. Make us brave. We pray this in the name of the one who makes whole the wholehearted, Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.